Well, let's continue to focus on Iran and President Hassan Rouhani's speech later today. We heard President Obama say his administration is determined to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, but he also sounded a positive note about President Rouhani.
I want to be clear. We are encouraged that President Rouhani received from the Iranian people a mandate to pursue a more moderate course. And given President Rouhani's stated commitment to reach an agreement, I am directing John Kerry to pursue this effort with the Iranian government.
But as Robin said a few moments ago, the Associated Press is now reporting that President Obama and Iranian President Rouhani will not meet at the United Nations. I spoke earlier with Trita Parsi, president of the nonprofit National Iranian American Defense Council. He's also author of A Single Roll of the Dice, Obama's Diplomacy with Iran. Trita Parsi, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Iran and the U.S. have not held direct talks since 1979. First of all, are you expecting President Obama and President Rouhani to meet while they're at the U.N., maybe even if it's just for a handshake?
Well, actually, the U.S. and Iran have had occasions when they have spoken directly to each other. There has been occasions of diplomacy, but nothing that has been sustained, nothing that has ultimately led to the resolution of their estrangement. But what we're seeing today is something that is at a much higher level, and particularly if there is a handshake or a meeting, that would be historic, because between the presidents, there's never been that type of a communication.
Do you think that diplomacy can work, for example, between these two countries on the nuclear issue?
I absolutely believe that diplomacy can work, but only if it has the sufficient amount of political capital invested into it. The diplomacy that has existed so far has been far too limited, far too careful, far too timid. There has to be something in which both sides really invest in and in which the cost of failure is much larger than what it has been so far.
Well, let's look forward to the president's speech tonight, President Rouhani. In the past, of course, his predecessor, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, had given some combative speeches, taking aim at the U.S. and Israel. As Ari just mentioned, often the U.S. delegation just got up and walked out. What are you expecting to hear from President Rouhani today?
I think he's going to work very hard to try to erase the last 8 years in which Ahmadinejad gave a very, very negative image of Iran. I think we've seen Rouhani already trying to do so through his Twitter diplomacy, etc. But what I think will be really important is if he can also signal some concrete measures that Iran is willing to take in order to make sure that this becomes a truly memorable speech. I think he needs that because the flexibility that he currently enjoys is very limited in time. In a couple of months, if he has nothing to show for, if he has not managed to get a deal, then Iran, unfortunately, is going to return to the much more aggressive posture that the hardliners in Iran prefer.
And when you say he has nothing to show for, are you talking about the economy? Because, of course, we hear from people in Iran that the sanctions are so tough right now that the economy is just terrible.
The economy is hurting tremendously, so he needs to get a deal in which he can show that he can get concessions from the West as well, particularly those that affect the economy. But I think at the same time, it's important to understand, had it not been for the elections in Iran and had it not been for Rouhani getting elected, I think it's highly unlikely that the Iranians would be showing any flexibility right now, because Rouhani is a person that, together with his foreign minister Zarif, for more than 10 years were pursuing solutions like this. They are the ones who spoke to the United States and collaborated with the United States in Afghanistan in 2001. They're the ones who put forward a 2003 proposal for comprehensive negotiations, who offered to cut, to cap Iran's nuclear program at 3,000 centrifuges in 2005. So this is a continuation of an approach that they have had for a very long time. It's just that for the last 8 years, they've been essentially absent from the scene because of the election victory of Ahmadinejad 8 years ago and the cheating that took place in the elections 4 years ago.
Although there's already skepticism today, the Israeli leader, according to the Associated Press, saying the world should not be fooled by signs of moderation from Iran.
And that is a long-held view by the Israeli government. What I think is dangerous for Israel here is that they are consistently rejecting any symbolic or substantive offer from the Iranian side out of hand. And that helps create an image that I think is unhelpful for Israel, because it leaves the image that the Iranians are actually trying to resolve this, but the intransigent party is Israel.
Let's talk about Syria, because that cannot be ignored as part of this. Iran has been one of Bashar al-Assad's most important supporters. Are there any signs that that could change as a result of new diplomatic efforts with the U.S.?
I think there are signs that this could change in the sense that the Iranians are capable of putting pressure on Assad, but it also very much depends on what the final solution that is being sought. I think the approach that the United States have had up until recently, and which has been to get rid of Assad altogether, I fear the Iranians are not going to be particularly helpful. But if it is some form of political process with an undefined outcome, something that the outcome is going to be defined by the process itself and how the negotiations go, that I think the Iranians can be helpful in. But again, it requires an engagement between the two countries on a whole set of issues. So far, the limited negotiations that have existed between the United States and Iran has been limited to only the nuclear issue. I think that needs to change.
You mentioned Iran's economy, and I wonder, do you think, though, that there are outside pressures here for why this moment may be the moment for something to change with the U.S. relationship with Iran because of all of the things that are going on in the region right now?
I think all of these things build up a picture in which timing is right for both sides. But I want to really emphasize, if nothing is done in a very limited time period, then I don't think Rouhani is going to enjoy the flexibility he has right now. As a result of the elections, he's been able to make the case to the hardliners of saying that they need to give him a chance, they need to not interfere or sabotage and give him an opportunity to do this, but they're not going to give him more than a couple of months.
Trita Parsi is president of the nonprofit National Iranian American Council. Trita Parsi, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we have this brief update on the terrorist attack in Nairobi. The country's president, Uhuru Kenyatta, said just a while ago that the terrorists have been ashamed and defeated, that three floors of the mall they were hiding in collapsed at the end of the operation by Kenyan troops to oust them, burying bodies in the rubble. We'll have much more on that story later today on All Things Considered.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.